No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 18th day of October. Welcome, everyone. Today we wind this week down together. Today is the last day in the New Living Translation. And today we are going to read the 6th chapter of John. John chapter 6. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." Then they replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him. Then he said, that is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus said, I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil. He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12, who would later betray him. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this week, this time we've had together in your word. God, I pray that as we hear your words, they transform us. They challenge our thinking and they disrupt our heart, that we would make the necessary changes. Holy Spirit, come do that which only you can do. Convict us, that we may repent and turn from our ways and follow after you. And it will require leaving some things and leaving some people, and that can be so hard. But we are not alone. And to follow after you, you who are the way, the truth, and the life, it is not always easy. It will require sacrifice. It will require us giving up some things that our hearts love, some things that we have not been willing to give up, things that we cling to, but may we cling to you this day, here and now. I pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome back. Hi, baby.
Hi.
Welcome back to the Daily Audio Travelogue.
Whatever this thing is called.
We'll just experiment with it.
Okay.
But man, I don't know. This is one of my most tired travelogues. It's been a day, a very, very long day.
12 hours.
I mean,
at least. If we're counting.
You just sit, nobody knows this, but you're just sitting there with your eyes closed and your face in the mic.
I'm so tired.
Well, we're going to try to do this anyway because so much happened and we'll never be able to catch up. Like, we'll never be able to go through it all because things are happening so fast. So we covered a lot of ground today. Again, hundreds of miles. Of road. Like, I think there were a couple of 2-hour stretches at least.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I know where we started out in Pamukkale or something like that. And we started out there because there was a biblical site there. Not to mention hot springs. Not to mention it was very cool. And a very beautiful day and a beautiful morning. But man, we also reached four of the 7 churches that are named in the book of Revelation.
Yes, I think that is accurate.
I don't know if we actually reached one of them that we've seen, but we're in one of them right now. Like, we're staying in one of them.
We're not staying in the church.
But. No, not the church. Not the church.
That would be chilly.
I can't even come up with anything witty to say right now.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay, so we started this morning early, and we were in this place that, like, we got a very late ending because we're in this hotel, and there are bus after bus after bus pouring in there, and all of a sudden we don't have rooms, and we're like, oh, man. That worked out, but it got us a very late start last night. So a short night and a very early morning to beat all those people out of the hotel, which we did.
We did it.
We did. And so our first stop was a city called Hierapolis. And it is named in the Bible. And it's kind of like a triangle of cities where a bunch of, like, ministry happened. Colossae was one of those places. Hierapolis is one of those places. And Laodicea. And so we toured Hierapolis, which explains why we were near hot springs. And by the way, friends, like, these were cool hot springs. Like, the water kind of runs down the side of this cliff, and it's all, like, all the rock has turned white as snow. And it's really, really cool.
It is so beautiful to look at.
Very thermal, warm water. We got to like walk around in it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so did a lot of other people, but it's, you know, it's age old for healing treatments. So Hierapolis actually has a massive amount of cemetery, like a huge cemetery population from all over the world, because people would come there to be cured, and then, you know, some would be cured of whatever, but some would die, and so they had to be buried there. And so there's all these really, really ancient sarcophaguses and monuments and all that kind of stuff, and that's kind of how you go into the city, and it's pretty cool and eerie at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
At least I thought that. What'd you think?
Same. Yeah, it was really pretty to walk this morning. There's I'm so tired, I don't really have any words. We learned a lot about water.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get ahead, because I know you're talking about the
sarcophaguses.
The
snuffleupaguses.
Yes. It was such different terrain and land. I mean, it's supposed to be, because we're going to different places, but I love the interesting differences in the landscape and mm-hmm. just the scenery around it that surrounds it. So yeah, you're right. Like, as we walked a long ways, and it just, they're lined all along the walking path, the great, let's just call them the stone graves.
Yeah, massive cemetery.
But it just made sense that so many people came here in desperation. We connected a lot of dots with the healing waters today, which is very fascinating.
Very.
So that took a long while. We actually weren't supposed to be there that long, but then we found out that there's actually another really important site on this particular site.
Yeah.
And we had to do it.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we did.
I'm so glad we did too. Even though we had to kind of hike up the side of this mountainy hill thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your geography example is right. It's really a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful location for a city. And it was really big, really spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And you could really get the scale and scope of it. Like, this was not a... This was a legit city and really beautiful area. And some of the attraction was the hot springs and the healing waters and all this kind of stuff. But we found out that church tradition going way back to the 300s, like way back, as early as a lot of church traditions that are in Israel, was that after Pentecost, you know, the gospel spread out, and we were in Cappadocia and kind of seeing the evidence of that, but the apostle Philip came over here to mm-hmm. Hierapolis, and among like the churches here, the church at Colossae, the church at Hierapolis, the church at Laodicea, like, and was doing ministry and did ministry in Hierapolis. And if I remember right, around 6 years. And this is a very Roman city at this point, an extremely Roman in every way. And it's all the evidence is still there that it's extremely Roman city.
And you can just tell by the architecture now,
right?
The columns and the, yeah.
Yeah.
Very Roman.
So in the end, Philip is martyred in Hierapolis. And even as he's dying, he continues to invite people to know Jesus, like even as he's dying.
Mm.
And And as the tradition goes, he was, you know, some things happened that angered a mob, and so he was drug out and stoned. And then crucified. So stoned and crucified. Outside the city, up on the side of this hill. And later on, you know, after he was buried, this was a known place. And so as the climate in the Roman Empire changed and the Byzantine Empire came to be, and everything, a church, as is the case in so many holy sites, was erected to protect the place. And so there are ruins of an ancient church up on the side of that hill that has a tomb, a first century tomb, one single first century tomb. And that is the tomb of the disciple, the apostle, Philip, who lost his life there in that city and was buried there.
And it's kind of strange to think about, like, the way that some of the apostles died. You said he was crucified, and he would have been hung nearly at the top of the hill, like, for the whole city to kind of see. And
yeah.
And then it's like, well, let's just build a church.
Well, it didn't happen like that the following week.
No, I know. Yeah. But
this became a site of holy site, because Philip was known for, like, healing in a healing city, a city with healing properties and powers. He was known for healing. So people would go to the tomb originally to seek healing. Not unlike when we go to Israel and see places like Shiloh, where Hannah went to have a baby, like, just, you know, and all over the world there are these places that seem to draw people for, you know, some kind of miraculous supernatural healing of some sort. So kind of like that, in a city known for healing.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's like, let's build a church where all these horrible things happen.
Yeah. It's almost like sweeten the sour.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful way to say it. Or at least to honor, you know, honor the bitterness of what happened there. Anyway, we made our way, and we had to hike up quite a way to get to it. And it was worth it.
Yeah, it was very...
It was like a real connection point. And yeah, I mean, we saw the thermal, you know, the thermal waters and the whole city, and kind of got out of there feeling like, wow, we could have spent more time. Like, this is really impressive. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. The theater was pretty amazing, too.
Absolutely.
The stage of the theater was nearly almost intact still.
Yeah. I think we were told it is the most well-preserved staging in all of the Roman Empire, or at least in all of Turkey, that remains. And so the statues and everything, like, we could really get the picture, you know, like, and very impressive.
And all I could think of looking out over that, well, not all, but one of my thoughts, I was thinking of the stone seating. They were so steep.
Yeah.
There's, like, you can't imagine the stones, the way that they are. Well, you can when you see the pictures. The immaculate way that they are set up to make stadium seating. And I'm looking at that and I'm just thinking, what kind of shoes did these women wear? Because I was going to have some trouble getting down a few steps.
Yeah. Probably different shoes.
And I didn't have fancy, schmancy shoes, but I was still really leery of just taking one of those big steps and
They're going to tumble down to the stage.
Yeah, but I can imagine, excuse me, if you're, you know, having a little cocktail while you're watching the gladiators go at it and yeah. getting up and being a little shaky and...
I guess that's valid. I looked at that stage and it was explained like, yeah, this is where the animals were kept and they would fight. Mm-hmm. Gladiators would fight wild animals and then they would fight each other. And I'm like, man, this is such a raw society to want to see that kind of stuff. But then they would also have these beautiful plays and dramas and comedies. And so I don't know.
I guess it's no different than the internet.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess not.
Was the internet before the internet?
Yeah, I guess you got a point there. Anyway, we spent our time there and it was really impressive and it was a beautiful morning and a beautiful way to start the day and just kind of honoring the Apostle Philip and just the connection point there. And then we moved from there, I guess maybe 15, 20 minutes, I don't know, to the city of Laodicea. And that is named in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That is the, it's famous for Jesus telling them, like, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Mm-hmm.
It's also famous for Jesus telling them, like, I really wish you were either hot or cold.
Yeah, I think it was Revelation chapter 3 that we looked up while we were there.
Yeah.
Because there were some fascinating discoveries.
There were. You know, this lukewarm kind of message. It was just always kind of taught to me, like, you don't want to be cold, you got to be hot, but you don't want to be lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jesus is actually saying is, I wish you were one or the other.
Right.
And that was, like, really, really important to Laodiceans. Like, it wasn't a random thing being said, because the aqueducts, the water source from Laodicea was coming from this thermal water source. That was the water that was nearby. It was the closest water source. And so it began its journey hot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of the earth hot, steaming hot.
And we actually saw where we were standing. If you just looked over, the steam rising off of those white, beautiful white rocks.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would feel really good on my lower back right now.
Yeah. So the water source started out hot, but by the time it got across the valley to Laodicea, it was tepid. It was mm-hmm. nasty, full of minerals and just, you know, nasty. And that was their water source. And so for, you know, the idea of spewing it out, like spitting it out of your mouth, it's gross. It's not good. That is so geographically connected to the story of that city.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this other connection that you really chased down today, because we were told the wealth, and it was a very, very wealthy city. But the wealth had come from this kind of medicinal, like this medicine that was like an antiseptic, like cured like eye infections and like nighttime blindness and different things.
It was a powder. I actually have the name for it in my phone, but I can't. I'm too tired to get up and get it right now.
Yeah, it was powder, and it was exported all over the world, and it would be mixed with water. Like, it came, like, as a tablet, and then it would be dissolved in water, or...
It was filled with zinc.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Other mineral. I mean, other things, too, but...
I can't remember.
Zinc was one of the main components.
But it was a lot of different things.
That mixed with the thermal water.
Right, and all the minerals there.
Made it a very medicinal type of dirt powder.
Yeah.
In fact, how it was discovered was there was a shipwreck. And I do not remember the year, and I do not remember the location, but the shipwreck had these tins that were airtight sealed. And they opened them, and not a single drop of water got in the canisters. And then they tested the mineral and found it to be this powder from this region.
Mm-hmm.
And this tablet. And they got all of the traces of what it was. But that mixed with the thermal water. Anyways, okay, sorry, go ahead.
So it cured blindness. And this note to Laodicea in the Book of Revelation. Jesus basically tells them, you think you can see, but you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
You think that you're okay, but because you're wealthy. You think you're okay because you're secure, but you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds so much like Jesus, you know, throughout the Gospels. This is exactly the kind of stuff he said all the time. Like, open your eyes
yeah.
to see. You're blind. And so that is just so rooted in... like, Laodiceans would have understood immediately the whole thing.
Right.
The lukewarm, the blindness, everything that was being said there. And that was really cool.
It's so fascinating to learn these things and to see the intentionality, the specificity. of the words that he spoke, knowing well who these people were.
Yeah.
It's beyond fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Because if we don't understand these things, we can just kind of think that, well, Jesus is a little cryptic,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what that means, and I'm just going to glide past it and get to the prosperity verses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a lot to say.
Yeah.
To those who think they are doing it right.
And have all the outward signs that it's working, when inside it's not working at all.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy of that.
Yeah, even walking through those sarcophaguses. I was thinking of you whitewashed tombs.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, Laodicea. Clearly a wealthy city just because of the ruins. The temple of Zeus was there. That was impressive, if not, you know, strange. But it was also a really big church from the Byzantine era with beautiful mosaics there.
Oh, yeah.
Another big theater there. Man, that Augustine fount, like the fountain to the emperor, the Caesar.
Yeah.
With a full statue.
Yep.
Very,
that was something.
Very impressive. And they even had a stadium there, which they're just kind of, I mean, these places are continually under archaeological, you know, seasons. And so more and more and more comes out of the ground as they identify it and do the work, but it takes a long time. So like reconstructing a stadium is going to take a minute.
Right.
But you can clearly see where it is and where it was and what's going to happen there. And so it was really impressive. And also like up on the top of this hill with a beautiful valley and yeah, it would have been just quite an amazing place to be back in the day. And so then we left there, and then it was like a couple of hours, right?
Oh, I don't even remember right now, baby.
I think so. It was like a couple of hours. And I don't remember the name of the town now, but we got to the next place that was named in the Book of Revelation, the next church, and that was the church at Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually a real town at this point, so everything about the ruins are under the ground, with the exception of just a few things, and so there's not really, like, whereas Hierapolis and Laodicea can take hours because it's archaeological site. Philadelphia was really scant on ruins, but, and there was the remnants of a church of St. John. Boy, these massive pillars. Like, looking at those, it was like, what did this church look like? These are so big and so thick. And, so we just spent some time there.
And the crazy thing is, so this is marked off. This church remains is it's marked off, but they literally build houses, businesses, establishments directly outside of the walls
mm-hmm.
of where it's marked off. So there's a whole world underneath there.
A whole city, a whole world. You're right.
But you would never know. It's just these gigantic pillars.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of this, I don't know, it just looks like a courtyard.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, this is a ancient church.
Yeah.
One that Jesus wrote about in the Bible.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of kitty cats, and that made it easy to kill. There's a lot of kitty cats
everywhere. a lot of kitty cats everywhere. Everybody treats them nice, and so they're pretty friendly.
Our tour guide, every animal she sees, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the dog. He's so cute.
Very animal-friendly culture. So we went from Philadelphia, and I don't believe it was very far. Like, it was not very far to the next.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Church that is named in the Book of Revelation, and that was the church at Sardis. That is a massive archaeological work in progress. Massive. Another massive Roman city that's only partially kind of reconstructed. And we got to kind of see just how impressive that was. If I remember right, this was like a city that began like 7 centuries before Jesus. So it's a very old city that had a king that was one of the richest people the world had ever known. Can't remember all the details at this point. My brain is mush.
Yeah.
A very, very ancient city, but a very important Roman city, and oddly enough, had a very large Hebrew Jewish population.
Mm-hmm.
People that had probably been exiled and from antiquity. And so there was a huge synagogue. Huge, like the biggest synagogue I've ever seen in any kind of ruins, and that's what we were told. Like, this really is the biggest one around. I was looking at it going, okay, we have mega churches. What is a synagogue? This is a megagogue.
Megagogue. I liked that.
And they were working on the mosaic tiling, and you could just see how big it was. It would have had it. Had to have had a very large Hebrew population, and so the connection to what Jesus has to say to the church at Sardis makes a lot of sense. And then next to that synagogue was the reconstruction of the gymnasium, and wow, that was quite impressive.
That was something
to get the picture of that, and like the Roman Empire was very progressive and wealthy and really had a lot of stuff that's still standing today. And to have lived back then, yeah, they didn't have like the internet and stuff like that, but it wasn't like they were just some kind of tribal people living in caves. Like, they had really, really well-developed technology.
Mm-hmm.
For water sources, for...
Yeah.
For like sewage, like just what a metropolis or a metropolitan area would need, was really well established even thousands of years ago. And it's just really impressive to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to another part of that, that city where the remains of a massive temple to the goddess Artemis was. And those columns.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first time I've seen lots of Roman columns, it's like in Israel and stuff, but those columns were so big. When you stand next to them, it's like so big.
Yeah, we did. We took some pictures standing next to them for scale, because you can't imagine how tall they are, and to think that they just didn't have the machinery that we have today.
Yeah.
How in the heavens?
Yeah. Did they do that? Like, the capitals on top of them are so big, like bigger than a car, like so big and carved out so ornately. The artisanship is just crazy. And the location also is just the mountains, the ruggedness in the area is just like, wow, yeah, this looks like a holy place of some sort.
It does. And then it's so stunning with those, I want to say that they're like cypress evergreen trees that are just tall and pointy, tall, skinny, pointy. And they're just lined.
Yeah.
I love those trees so much.
Yeah.
And there's also you read the context, I think, in Revelation as we were leaving that place today. And it's just being at these sites, like, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the context now, but it was the rock that fell from the sky, and
oh, that was Artemis. Yeah. And that Artemis being worshipped, but I was talking about Ephesus because that's where Paul got into so much trouble. And I know we're going to be going there, and so I'm sure we'll talk about that some more. But Paul got in so much trouble in Ephesus, but Artemis was worshipped in this region.
Mm-hmm.
The mother goddess, like, for a lot of reasons. But these temples, obviously pagan, obviously idolatry, obviously like wrong and incorrect, but it wasn't like, I mean, man, if you were back then, these were so imposing and impressive that you would have this kind of sense of something big and supernatural. And it's just really, really interesting to brush up against those things.
Mm-hmm.
Not in any kind of way being like, oh, wow, I can see why they would do that. But to really understand the scale of the pantheon of different gods that were worshipped on a large scale, that is so forbidden in the Bible, but so clearly documented on the earth. And so it's just fascinating.
And you see and hear in the scripture what they believed to be true about these other gods. And you have to go, okay, so there's a fair amount of superstition.
Sure.
That you just don't understand by reading it without being there.
And, right.
I always say that nothing changes but the world around us.
Uh-huh.
People, the heart of man kind of just stays the same. Yeah. We can be really, really gullible.
Yeah. can really chase things.
We can really chase the wrong things.
Clearly. But just kind of brushing up against that in antiquity. Like I said, it doesn't like go, oh, okay, this justifies everything. It just makes you understand, like, it expands the knowledge of what we're reading about in the Bible and what it actually looked like for these people to worship the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And what that felt and looked like for them. And it brings context and perspective that we just, there's just no other way to get.
Yeah.
Without just experiencing it.
I think it also really magnifies the meaning to me of spreading a false gospel.
Yeah.
And the importance of not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, let's just go all the way back to the law, the commandments. Do not bear false witness.
Yeah.
against your neighbor, which means don't assume, don't make it up, don't add details to it.
Don't lie.
Don't lie. And if it's not the truth, it's a lie.
Right.
It's not a variation. It's a lie.
Yeah.
And you can see how quickly these things, the lies, the falseness spread. And I just look around and go, nothing's different.
Behind that temple was that giant, what's called an acropolis, the original high point of the city that goes back to like the 6th or 7th century BCE. So there were some walls visible up there that go that far back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't go up there, but that was the, like, original place of the original city that then spread out all over the valley, all around.
Yeah.
And it was imposing and impressive and really interesting.
It was. And then we had another 2-hour drive.
Yeah. To here.
To here.
And just get into this hotel and get this all set up. So we are in a place called Izmir, but this is biblical Smyrna. And we haven't, from what I understand, this is also a really big city. There's like 4.5 million people here. So it's not like there's this massive amount of the Roman city left, but there is some. And I'm sure we'll get to see that as we continue this journey that has been absolutely overwhelmingly beyond what I thought it was going to be. The context, I thought it would be something to actually see these places and stand in these places and feel the power of these places, but the amount of context that's coming from, like, traveling these distances.
Yeah.
And seeing, like, really what these places would have and did look like, and, like, what it felt like to be there. It's so easy to read such an antiquated society in the Bible and just go, these people were just, like, so ancient, and they, you know. But this was so developed. And this has really been impressive to get the context for what the New Testament was written into.
For sure. And I think even what's hitting me is Paul knowing the risk of what could happen wherever he went, knowing the challenges that faced him going there with just traveling,
mm-hmm.
and still the willingness to get there.
Yeah. And even like Philip today, just that connection with the Apostle Philip, and just understanding. And I had known this. Talk about it in Israel. Like, what happened to these people? Because they were all at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus is saying, who do you say that I am?
Oh, yes.
And they all answered that question and they all died. I mean, John was like the only one dying a natural death. They all died. They were all martyred. And so to kind of walk in the footsteps of Philip, who knew who he believed Jesus to be and was willing to die for it and did die for it, it just, I don't know. It's powerful, I guess is the right word.
Yeah.
At least the best word I can think of right now. So that's our day, friends. Got a little video that we're trying to post every day, and you can see some of these places for yourself. We saw them for ourselves, and we need to actually rest for a while and gear up for tomorrow. So thank you for your prayers. DailyAudioBible.com, that is the website. There's an app as well. That's home base as well. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can hit the button in the app, the give button in the app. Or there's a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. Or if you prefer the mailing address is
DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174.
And if you have a prayer request or encouragement, hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. And, pray or encourage. And then hit submit. And what'll they do, Jill?
Well, for chronological, you can call 800-583-2164 or on the Daily Audio Bible line.
Well, in the app, what would they do?
You would hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. Hit submit and then turn the little wheel with your pointier bigger finger to chronological.
If that's where you're wanting to.
We are struggling.
If that's where you're wanting to send things. If you want to send things to Daily Audio Bible, then take your little finger and don't touch anything. I think it defaults. Just push send. Or you can call 877-942-4253. And that
it's
is...
It's the little piggy that didn't have roast beef.
Yeah.
No, it's the little piggy that stayed home.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no, that's your toes. Your toes are the little piggies. Okay.
Okay, friends, we love you. And we're grateful that you have come along with us. And that means a lot, actually, to bring this work to you and hopefully in some sort of way make it come alive to you like it's coming to alive to us.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the mission that we have with our lives and what we're giving our lives to. And so is to make the Bible something that matters in our world and in our lives now.
Wow.
So thanks for being on this journey with us. We love you. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
And we'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DABC. This is Sarah in Shropshire, driving to work. I just wanted to add my voice to the congratulations to Renee in South Africa and to somebody, the name has just gone out of my head, who just called in to talk about how amazing it is that this family of Christ spans the globe. And that lady was in, I presume, the States. I'm in England and Renee's in South Africa, and together we are celebrating her success. And also how we celebrate the joys with one another, and we weep and mourn the loss and the grief together. And for KSD and for the whole family, another devastating loss, and just my heart goes out to you, and I'm thinking about you, and yeah, we celebrate the joys together, and we weep and mourn together, because we're family. And Brian and Jill, thank you for your travelogue. I am learning so much. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm grateful that, you know, in your holiday, you know, in your break, you're continuing to minister to us and teach us. I will never call Jill the wife, ever. Ever. Amen. Lots of love to you all.
Dear Daily Audio Bible family, this is Greg from Washington, aka Clown for Christ. I wanted to give a praise report that surgery went well, and my wife Denise is healing. Thank you for your prayers. I just heard Daniel, Kingdom Seekers, urgent request for prayer, and have and will pray. Dear Daniel, brother, you are so amazing, and my first thought, other than there's no words, we're just, all of us, I'll speak for all of us, we're also sorry for your family's loss. This is horrible. Be with you, be with all your children, be with your ex-wife, be with LOV, that God will, his victory, his glory will be shown somehow through this. And dear Lord, be with Daniel, that he will learn to forgive himself and continue to be the man of God you created him to be. Lord, we thank you for him, for his family, for his testimony. Dear Lord, help him know that he is not his past, but you have made him anew. Dear Lord, thank you for your blessings, and be with this family. This is a horrible thing. Again, in the name of the Father, our Son, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for KSD and the loss of his son. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to touch that family. Lord, let him cry until he gets the strength that he needs. Touch that family, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you have your way. You have your way with Brian and Jill in Istanbul and where they are. Father, thank him for what they're doing for us. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for strengthening Kingdom Seeker and this family, Father. Oh, Lord, you have your way. Oh, Lord, you can strengthen them. They need you, Father. They need you like a flower needs rain. And, Lord, we'll give you the glory. Lord, you ask you to touch those that have lost. You give them their loved ones, Father. The one that lost a precious husband. You be with them and those, Lord. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name.